Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, how long would you say the average pastorate lasts?
Well, you should call Christianity Today and ask them for the Barnard Research or whatever. I will give you the Maines guesstimate, okay?
Sure, fair enough.
Then I should say, Dean, why don't you put in your head what you would answer as well, okay? I'm guessing 2 to 3 years. Is that close in where you are in your head?
I had more in the idea of 4 to 7 years, but you have a broader spectrum to look at.
I think you're too high on that. That would be my guess. There are some pastors that go a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's going to bring the average up. But there are a lot of pastors that go a very short time as well. My guess is that the average pastor probably moves about two to three years. But I'm not going to stake my entire reputation on that, okay? I'd go to the experts who would know. Why did you ask?
I'm asking because I wondered if after a couple of years, would you say a spiritual leader should have an understanding of the impact his or her life has made? In other words, to be precise, here's my premise for this visit. It's a helpful exercise to complete the following. Reflecting on the years I pastored at blank church, here's how I believe lives were impacted.
That's a fair premise. I would say you should have some kind of an understanding as to what actually was accomplished on behalf of the Lord, as opposed to saying, I think the people really like me there. Or that was a pleasant experience for me, or I wish I could relive those days. Those were very nice. That's not enough. I would say, yes, you need to be able to say, this is what was accomplished in lives during that time. So I think your premise is fair.
Mm-hmm. Thinking back over the pastorates that you've had in your lifetime, if you did what I'm asking, how would you answer the question?
Well, you set me up, didn't you? I have only had one pastor. It was 10 years in my life, and then I spent a lot of years in media. And I've been a parishioner and a retiree for some years, although I've never been unactive in that time. Before that, I was with Youth for Christ. I spent a good number of years with that ministry. In Youth for Christ, I guess I can think of specific individuals who I had the privilege of leading to the Lord, and I can think of some of their lives, although that's many years back, and I don't have as good a memory. I could name given people, but that's a long time back. The 10 years I was pastor, I was an associate pastor for a couple years prior to that, but those 10 years of ministry in the heart of Chicago, I could name numbers of people whose lives were, I would say, profoundly affected. I received just this last week a letter from a missionary in Japan who said, I was reflecting with some individuals, and they were people of the congregation again, and we were talking about our years at the church and what a powerful impact that had on our lives. And I'm thinking about what an incredible missionary this woman has been and how I had a part in her going to the field. I'm thinking of an individual who works for a publishing company who has literally traveled the world and been responsible for huge numbers of beneficial materials put in the hands of Indians and Chinese and all this, and how she regularly writes to me and says, your ministry turned my life in a very real way, and also thanks me because she met her husband at that church and what an impact that has had on her life. I think of a young couple. They were graduates of a Christian college whose lives turned around. He was very successful in business and now is a missionary in the Far East, and they're team pastoring a national church in one of those areas. So I have lots and lots of memories of people. I recently was aware of the death of one of my staff members who spent his entire life on the west side of the city of Chicago, and now you can go into the area around Central and just a little north of the Eisenhower Expressway, you can see three city blocks that have been absolutely transformed because of that person's ministry. And before he died, he called the two of us, Karen and I, and he said, I just want to show you what's happened. He had cancer. He knew he was dying. And what impact your life had on our lives as we went in there. And I was deeply impressed. I thought, goodness sakes, he was always a wonderful person, but it was meaningful to him to have us come because we had been a big part of his life. I can name all kinds of people through those years of ministry, and some of them in business who've done very well and have basically seen that business as their ministry and have financed projects all over the world. So yes, I can do that. That's not a problem. With the radio has such a far-reaching expanse of what is going on, and I regularly see people who say things like, we still are on the God hunt, do you still do the God hunt? I say, of course I do the God hunt on a regular basis, looking for God in my everyday world. I have ministers who say, you know, my whole preaching has changed. I spoke at a Presbyterian church out in California, and the minister introduced me, a very large church, which is immaterial in some ways, except it says his ministry has been quite successful. And he said, this is my mentor. I'm so proud that he's here. I never thought of myself as his mentor. You know, that's not who I am. But that's how he thought of me, which was gratifying. So I look back, and through the years of, I think of doing what we call 50-day spiritual adventures, and how ministers have now created their own adventures beyond what we had done. And the outreach of radio is so huge, and I inherited a ministry. We were on like 500 stations. So I guess it's, if you have a congregation of 500 people, that's one thing, but if you've got 500 stations, you're talking about a lot of people. And I guess it's inevitable you're going to have some people who say, you know, you've touched my life. But it's interesting, Dean, I don't have very many people say to me, you know, you are really one wonderful preacher to listen to. I don't think I ever hear people say that, but they do tend to say, you have touched my life in a profound way. And that's probably even more meaningful to me. And it lets me excuse myself as not being that great a preacher, I guess. But I can think of all those lives that have been touched. And the Lord was gracious and allowed me to step into a ministry that was already established.
One of the things that I have observed is that when God uses an individual very powerfully to proclaim his truth, it's very possible that the truth that's being proclaimed overwhelms the listener to the point where that truth is so penetrating that the voice that's speaking that truth recedes in its importance, even though the fact God has anointed and is blessing and using that voice. If someone would say, how has David Maines impacted my life? And they're really saying the truth that you spoke in behalf of God impacted their life. The truth is you're a very effective communicator. I sit across from you as someone whose life was profoundly changed by my association with you, not only initially, but all over these very long 34 years that we've been friends. But I would say sometimes, because we used to pray for pastors that God would hide them behind the cross of Christ. And I think that's what happens when you speak, David. God hides you behind the cross. And what Jesus is saying through you becomes far more important than who you are.
I trust that would be true, yeah.
And that may take away from the apparent flash, if you will. You're not somebody that has a flashy way of presenting things, but you have a profound way of presenting them. So I would stick with and say that the profundity is worth more than the flash. But it also makes me want to ask you, did the results that you've just laid out, did it justify the investment of time you made, or even investments in other ways that you made?
Well, on a personal satisfaction basis, yes. In fact, I guess I'm kind of glad that people don't necessarily say you're an incredible speaker. They may feel that, I don't know, but I hear God speak through you. That's good. And yes, it's extremely satisfying to be able to see all those lives touched. Even Dean, in partial retirement now, I still do a lot of things. I'm traveling all the time, and I don't see myself as inactive. But my role has changed. It's more a mentoring role in a lot of ways. I would say that over the last year, we were in a church where there was an unfortunate split. We started attending probably the week after the split happened, and we didn't know that this had happened. But the pastor has very key communication skills, and he was devastated by what happened. And Karen and I took the pastoring couple kind of under our wing, and every week met with them, every Wednesday prayed with them and all that. And over a period of year, he's been really restored and is strong. And I would say that that whole year, though there was never any preaching involved, one of the great accomplishments. It was never a role that, if somebody said, what is your role? My role is restoring our pastor and his wife to a place where they're strong once again. That's taken a year, but we salvaged his ministry. I think he would have stepped out of ministry and probably been disillusioned by it all. But he's not at that place now, and he's still valuable for the kingdom. A lot of this last year has been mentoring a young man who was in business but was dissatisfied, had been in a number of business situations over a period of probably 20 years, but longed for something more meaningful, and now he has been hired in a ministry position, and he's not making nearly as much money. In fact, he told me what he was going to be paid, and he said, you don't understand, David, that's like jumping into a glass of ice water. He said, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And now he's been in ministry. He just celebrated his first anniversary in this position. He never talks about the money anymore. He's just happy as a lark and enjoying himself and talking to Pip about the people he's led to the Lord and so on. Those are very satisfying experiences. So as I look back, I would say I have been incredibly fortunate to be the person the Lord has allowed me to be in the positions I've been allowed. I think it would be tragic if I look back and I couldn't think of any of those stories. It may take a while just to be able to reflect and say, yeah, here are the lives, but I think of who I was and all the problems of growing up in a little town in southern Illinois and just being really green behind the ears. And now over a period of all these years, I'm 76 now, and seeing what the Lord has done. You know, you go to a class reunion, and I'm not interested in how much money I made or all that. I'm interested more in the kingdom and what I've been able to do because of the Lord's graciousness. And in spite of the huge number of the barnacles I carry around with me and all the faults that I have, which I'm very aware of, as you would be. Anybody who's walked with the Lord is aware of your own faults. To a major degree, I say the Lord has been very good, and I don't have this sense of I've ministered all these years and there's been no fruit. There's been incredible fruit. So in that sense, what was your premise again? Go back to it.
It's a helpful exercise to complete the following. Reflecting on the years I pastored at blank church, here is how I believe lives were impacted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think You and Shirley, as you look back on this last year and you get perspective on it, you've played an incredible role in the church where you're a part. And if we pull the two of you out of that church, probably it's a different church than it is at this present time. And a lot of that has been because you've been preaching and you've taken on that load along with your other responsibilities. But on top of that, you've been mentoring people all along. And as you look back, you'll have a great sense of satisfaction as to this last year. It's been a hard year for you guys, but I think you'll also say, I would like to think that I really lived that period of my life well. And that gives you great satisfaction. So yeah, I agree with your premise. If you look back and you think nothing but leaves, you know, at that point in time, that would be very unfortunate. I wouldn't want that to happen. Or they were jolly good years. You know, that's not who you are. You have a seriousness about life that you and an intensity and a direction that gives you that sense that says, yeah, these were days well spent. I would hope you would feel that way.
An important part of that reflection process is to consider changes. So I would ask, what changes would you have made if you knew then what you know now?
Well, you sound like you're asking the president, and they say, they avoid those questions. You know, okay, I would say probably what I know now, I'm much more international in my thinking. And at that time, I was, you know, raised in a little Mississippi River town, and I was very provincial in my thinking. It's taken me a long time to understand the breadth of God's world so that I would be more mission-oriented, I would be more foreign-oriented, I would probably look for the international leaders more than I look for just the American leaders. But I didn't know enough then. Now I know that now. So, and I do. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was at our home church. There was one black fella who was there, African-American, although he wasn't African-American. He was international, and no one was talking to him. So I went over and talked to him, and we had a wonderful conversation. But I've been sensitized to look for them, and I thought, this young guy has a tremendous potential. And so I looked for him the next week. He wasn't back next week. I'll look for him again when I go back. But I have a sensitivity toward internationals now that I never had, whether they're Asian or they're African or whatever. You know, I couldn't have had that when I was younger. I wasn't smart enough. I didn't have enough exposure to what was going on. But I'm much more aware of the really rapid expanse of God's kingdom in foreign lands, much more so than in America. So that's probably, you know, with hindsight, that's where I would be different.
Well, we encourage the pastors who are listening to our podcast to take this example. It's a helpful exercise to complete the following. Reflecting on the years I pastored at blank church, here's how I believe lives were impacted. Please take a moment to do that exercise and see what the results are. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart and examine the fruit from your ministry. Be encouraged by the fruit and also be challenged to continue to serve the great King with all of your heart. We're so glad you joined us for our podcast today. We know you found our podcast through our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have lots of resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. We invite you to browse through those resources and make full use of them. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.